Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I want to welcome you to day 19 of our 21-day Make Room prayer call. We've made it to our final day together on this call, and I pray you're still leaning in, still pressing in, and still making room for God. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been on an intentional journey. In week one, our theme was Make Room in Us. We focused on the internal work of removal. We asked God to cleanse our hearts. We made a choice to cast off our weights. We asked God to crush the roots of our idols. We gained a clear path and we consecrated our lives to Him. In week two, our theme was Make Room for Him. And we focused on recentering. We learned to pause and rest in God's presence, to live a life of prayer, to fight our battles with praise, and to grow through daily practice, and to persist when the results weren't immediate. This week, our theme has been Make Room to Move. We've been putting our faith into action. We learned to dare to believe when it felt impossible, to get up and go when we didn't have all the answers, to encourage ourselves when the journey got hard, and to have fun in the middle of it all. And now we come to our final day, our final word, and our final instruction. After all the internal work, after all the recentering, after all the bold movement, why did we do it? We did it so we could be vessels of God's grace to the world. We did it so we could be a blessing to others. That's why today's phrase on our last day is pay it forward. Pay it forward. And to really understand what that means, let's anchor ourselves in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Howard Thurman, that great mystic, theologian, and prophet, once asked a haunting question. Are you a reservoir, a canal, or a swamp? Let's talk about the canal. A canal is a channel, a man-made waterway designed for one purpose, to allow things to flow through it. It doesn't hold the water for itself. It receives it and sends it on its way to its destination. Canals are lifelines, but canals also connect. That's their very design. They link one place to another, one body of water to another, one community to another. They make movement possible where there would otherwise be separation. But here's the underlying question for canals. What kind of things are you connecting? Because not all canals flow life. Some canals can connect fresh water to dry land, bringing refreshment and fertility, but other canals can carry polluted water, spreading poison and disease. The canal itself doesn't create the water. It only carries what's poured into it. If you lean more on the canal side of life, you've got to ask yourself a hard but necessary question. What's being poured into me? Because a canal can only carry what it receives. If what flows into you is bitterness, then bitterness is what you'll spread. If what flows into you is gossip, gossip is what you'll carry. If what flows into you is negativity, fear, or doubt, that's what will overflow into the people around you. But if what's being poured into you is the word of God, then that's what you'll carry. If prayer is flowing into you, peace will flow out of you. If love is poured into you, love will ripple out of you. If grace is poured into you, grace will run out of you into dry places. So canal living is powerful, but it comes with accountability. What's flowing into me and what am I carrying into the world? And then there is the swamp. I've never seen a pretty swamp before. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm just saying I've never seen one. Swamps are different. They have no inlet and no outlet. Nothing fresh is flowing in. Nothing life-giving is flowing out. A swamp just sits. It holds water. But because it doesn't move, the water stagnates. Over time, the stillness breeds disease. The smell turns foul, and what could have been life-giving becomes toxic. Because what flows in never gets released, and what's released is never fresh. That's the problem with the swamp. Whatever comes in just sits there. It doesn't circulate. It doesn't refresh. It doesn't produce life. It gets stuck. And over time, what could have nourished begins to rot. And that's exactly what happens in our spiritual lives when we stop the flow. When God pours God's word into us, but we never share it, it stagnates. When God blesses us, but we never bless others, our spirit spoils. When God gives us grace, but we hold grudges, our hearts grow toxic. Swamps aren't dead because there's no water. They're dead because there's no movement. That's why swamp living is so dangerous. You're holding on, but you're not letting go. You're taking in, but you're not giving out. You may look full on the outside, but inside things are decaying. And people can smell it before they see it. That's a swamp. And then there's the reservoir. Unlike the swamp, the reservoir is a picture of balance and purpose. Fresh water flows in from rivers and rain. And that same water is carefully managed, stored, and then released to sustain cities, farms, and communities. A reservoir isn't wasteful. It doesn't let the water run wild. But it also doesn't hold it so tightly that nothing can flow out. Reservoirs give life. Farmers depend on them for their crops. Neighborhood depend on them for clean drinking water. Businesses depend on them for energy and productivity. In times of drought, it's the reservoir that keeps people alive. Without it, entire regions would wither. With it, whole communities can flourish. That's the beauty of a reservoir. It doesn't just exist for itself. It receives and retains so that when the moment comes, it can release. Its strength is in its depth, but its purpose is in its outflow. It is both supply and safeguard, both storehouse and stream. It has both capacity and circulation. There's something to be said about that capacity and circulation. A capacity is what gives the reservoir strength. It's deep enough, wide enough, and steady enough to hold what's poured into it. Without capacity, water would just spill over and be wasted. But capacity alone isn't enough, because if all you do is hold, you end up like the swamp. That's why circulation is just as important. Circulation is what keeps the water alive. It's the outflow, the release, the steady movement that prevents decay and brings life to everything it touches. A reservoir without circulation is just a swamp in disguise. But when capacity and circulation work together, the reservoir becomes a source of life, a place of strength, and a safeguard in times of drought. And the same is true for us. God doesn't just want us to have capacity to be filled with God's word, God's spirit, God's wisdom. God wants us to have circulation, to let what God has poured into us move through us, refreshing, restoring, and reviving others. Some of you have capacity. You got wisdom. You got gifts. You got experiences. You got resources. You got prayers stored up from years of walking with the Lord. You got depth in you, more than you even realize. But here's the problem. You ain't circulating. You've got all this treasure inside of you, but you're holding it in. You've been poured into, but you haven't poured out. You got a testimony, but you're keeping it to yourself. You got encouragement, but you keep that to yourself. You got blessings, but you've held them too tightly. And because of that, what should be life-giving is sitting stagnant. And then there are others of you, you got circulation, but you don't have capacity. You're always giving, always pouring, always helping, always serving. Everybody calls you when they need a prayer, when they need money, when they need encouragement, and you give it. But you don't take time to be poured into. You don't rest. You don't refill. You don't replenish. Circulation without capacity leads to burnout. On our final day together, I believe God is calling us to be more like a reservoir, to live in the rhythm of both, to have capacity and circulation, to be filled deeply and to pour freely, to store what God gives you and then release it at the right time to refresh the world around you. That's what it means to pay it forward. When Paul says we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us, he's reminding us that we are vessels, fragile, ordinary, imperfect, yes, but vessels carrying something far greater than ourselves, the treasure of God's Spirit, the treasure of God's Word, the treasure of God's grace. And notice Paul doesn't say we are the treasure. He says we carry the treasure, which means the value is not in the clay, it's in what the clay contains. God deliberately chose to place God's power in fragile vessels so that when the world is refreshed, when lives are changed, when hope flows out, it's clear that the glory belongs to him and not to us. Now, you have to see the beauty in this. God chose to put God's treasure in you, not the polished, church-ready, Sunday best you, but the real you, the clay jar you, the imperfect you, the you with cracks, the you with chips, the you that's been dropped a few times and glued back together, the you that feels ordinary, fragile, breakable, the you that sometimes leaks when you wish you didn't, the you that feels unworthy, overlooked, or underestimated. And yet that's the you God chose. He didn't put his treasure in gold plated vessels, in flawless containers, in perfect jars. He put it in clay, the cheapest, most common, most breakable material there was, Tupperware. Why? So that the glory would never be confused. So that when people are refreshed by what flows out of you, they know it wasn't your power, it was his. That means your imperfections don't disqualify you. They prove the treasure is real. Your cracks don't cancel you. They actually let the light shine through you. Your fragility doesn't make you useless. It makes you usable, because the more imperfect the jar, the more obvious it is that the treasure inside is divine. And y'all, I'm just glad God didn't say dirt, because dirt by itself has no structure. When we were kids, we used to make mud pies, take dirt, mix it with water, shape it in our hands. But those mud pies could never last. They would dry up and crack under the heat of the sun because they lacked the inherent strength and structure to hold together. But clay is different. Clay has a texture, a flexibility, a durability that dirt doesn't have. Clay can be shaped. Clay can be molded. Clay can endure the fire and come out stronger. Clay can be placed in the hands of the potter and turned into something useful, something beautiful, something that carries value far greater than itself. And I don't know who this word is for, but God told me to tell you that you are stronger than you think. See, when the potter puts clay on the wheel, the clay doesn't feel strong. It feels soft. It feels ordinary. It feels like it can't hold anything. But the potter knows that once he shapes it, once he works it, once he runs it through the fire, that clay will come out stronger than it ever imagined. Why do you think that storm didn't destroy you? Why you think that betrayal couldn't break you? Why you think that sickness didn't take you out? Why you think that depression didn't swallow you whole? Why you think that season of lack didn't bury you? Because through it all, your life was still in the potter's hands. The potter never left you on the wheel. He never walked away from the process. Even when it felt like you were spinning out of control, his hands were on your life. Even when the fire was hot, he was regulating the temperature. Even when cracks showed up, the potter pressed you, shaped you, and kept you together. That's why I didn't destroy you. That's why I couldn't break you, because the strength was never in the clay. It was always in the hands that were shaping the clay. And those same hands are still holding your life together right now. For we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So how dare you come out of that storm and keep it to yourself? How dare you survive that divorce and not tell somebody God can heal broken hearts? How dare you walk away from bankruptcy and not tell somebody that God is still a provider? How dare you beat cancer and not testify that God is still a healer? How dare you survive foreclosure and not declare that God can still make a way out of no way? How dare you walk across that graduation stage with student loans forgiven and not tell somebody God still answers prayer? How dare you come out of addiction and not tell somebody God is still setting captives free? How dare you bounce back from depression and not tell somebody that joy really does come in the morning? How dare you survive that car accident and not tell somebody God's angels still encamp around those who fear him? How dare you get delivered from anxiety and not tell somebody that he'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him? How dare you come through surgery and not testify that God is still Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals? How dare you live through grief and not remind somebody that God is comfort and still near to the brokenhearted? How dare you make it through what was designed to kill you and not tell somebody the only reason you're still standing is because of the treasure in your jar of clay? Because if God brought you out, it was never just for you. It's for that single mother who wants to go back to school but doesn't know how she's going to juggle work, kids, and classes. Your story tells her it's possible. It's for that brother who's battling addiction and silence. Your testimony reminds him that chains can be broken. It's for that sister who just got the diagnosis. Your healing tells her God still has the final say. It's for that young man who grew up without a father. Your survival shows him that God will be a father to the fatherless. It's for that widow sitting in the quiet of her grief. Your joy says that sorrow may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It's for the student drowning in debt. Your breakthrough reminds them that God is Jehovah Jireh, regardless who is in office. It's for that family staring at foreclosure. Your testimony says God can still open doors no man can shut in the final hours. It's for that co-worker who feels invisible. Your kindness shows them they are seen and loved by God. See, what God brought you through wasn't just for you to sit on. It was so your life could be a lighthouse pointing somebody else to the hope and healing you found in him. So pay it forward. Don't sit on what God has done for you. Share it. Don't hide the treasure in your jar of clay. Pour it out. Somebody's waiting on your story. Somebody's waiting on your smile. Somebody's waiting on your kindness. Somebody's waiting on your encouragement. Somebody's waiting on your faith. Pay it forward with your words. Speak life into someone else. Pay it forward with your resources. Bless somebody the way God bless you. Pay it forward with your presence. Be a light in dark places. Because at the end of the day, that's what these 19 days have been about. Not just making room for God to do something in you, but making room for him to do something through you. We are not called to be swamps that hoard or canals that get drained dry. We are called to be reservoirs filled and flowing, holding and releasing, receiving and giving. So on this final stretch of the journey, hear the charge. What God gave you, don't keep it. Pay it forward. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts, standing on this final day of our 21-day journey, declaring that you are faithful. Thank you for every prayer you've heard, every burden you've lifted, every weight you've broken, and every ounce of strength you've poured into us over these 3 weeks. You've cleansed us, you've centered us, you've called us to move, and today you've commissioned us to pour out what you have poured in. God, we bless you because you have made us vessels of treasure, jars of clay carrying eternal worth. We're not perfect, but you chose us anyway. We're not flawless, but you filled us with your spirit. We're not strong on our own, but we're stronger than we think because we are in the potter's hands. So today we declare we will not hoard, we will not stagnate, we will not sit on the treasure, we will pay it forward. Cover every single mother raising children and carrying dreams. Cover every father providing and pressing. Cover every young person trying to find their place in this world. Every elder pressing through health battles. Every neighbor, every co-worker, every stranger who will encounter us. Lord, make us living witnesses. Let our words carry hope. Let our smiles carry healing. Let our kindness carry your presence. Let our lives carry your light. Somebody on this call is on the verge of giving up. You've been smiling on the outside, but crying on the inside. You've been carrying everybody else, but secretly you've been wondering how much longer can you carry yourself. You've been faithful on the job, faithful in the family, faithful in ministry, but weary in your soul. I want you to hear me. God has not forgotten you. Your life is still in the potter's hands. That's why you didn't break when it should have broken you. That's why you didn't die when it should have killed you. That's why you're still standing when everything around you tried to knock you down. So, Lord, silence the voice of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Mute every whisper of doubt, cancel every lie that says you're not enough. You can't make it. You might as well give up, shut down every demonic word that tries to magnify failure over faith. Drown out the sound of despair with the sound of your promise. Speak louder than the fear. Speak louder than the shame. Speak louder than the pain. Remind your son, remind your daughter that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Remind them that they are more than conquerors through Christ who loves them. Remind them that greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. God, we decree that the voice of the enemy will not have the last word. Your word will, your promise will, your power will. So lift their heads, strengthen their hearts, steady their steps, wrap them so tight in your presence that the only voice they hear today is yours saying, I am with you, I am for you. And I will never leave you. And we declare today that the promises of God are still yes and amen. Yes in Christ and amen in our lives. Yes over our families and amen over our futures. Yes over our healing and amen over our deliverance. Yes over our breakthrough and amen over our joy. Yes over our finances and amen over our faith. Yes over our purpose and amen over our destiny. So let's declare it together today. I want you to repeat after me. What God pours into me, I will pour out. I will dare to believe. I will get up and go. I will encourage myself. I will laugh and have fun. Today, I declare, I will live it. I will share it. I will pay it forward. To the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, thank y'all so much for your consistency, for your faithfulness and waking up with me every morning. For us to start our day with devotion, with prayer, I believe it happens after prayer. I really believe that. So I'm praying for you today. I'm praying for you this weekend. I look forward to worshiping with you in person at Grace on Sunday or online. Y'all be careful this week, this weekend rather. Be mindful, be watchful, and be encouraged. Peace.